Brilliance Audio presents Under Siege by Stephen Kuntz, performed by Benjamin L. Darcy. Walter P. Harrington was eastbound on the inner loop of the Beltway around Washington, D.C. this December evening in the leftmost lane. He kept the speedometer needle rock steady at 55 miles per hour. Traffic swirled past him on his right. Harrington ignored the glares and occasional honks and upthrust fingers from drivers darting into the middle lanes to get around and kept his eyes firmly on the road ahead. He also ignored the car that hung 3 feet behind his rear bumper, flashing its lights repeatedly from low to high beam and back again. The car behind him darted past him on the right, the driver shaking a fist out his window. Harrington didn't even glance at him. Nor did he pay any attention to the next car that eased up behind him, a white four-door Chevrolet Caprice. In the Chevy were two men wearing surgical gloves. The driver, Vincent Piacci, muttered to his passenger,
"It's him, all right. That's his car. A maroon Chrysler. License numbers right and everything."
The passenger, Tony Anselmo, swiveled his head carefully, scanning the traffic.
"No cops in sight."
"What you think?"
"Well, we could just pass him and be waiting for him when he gets home."
"Neighbors, kids,"
Vinny Piacci said disgustedly. Both men sat silently staring at the back of Walter P. Harrington's balding head.
"Little jerk driving 55 in the left lane," Tony said.
"The problem is he may swerve right and nail us before we can get by."
"He won't,"
Tony Anselmo said thoughtfully.
"He'll go out like a light, won't even twitch."
"In his neighborhood, there may be a cop 2 blocks away and we won't know. Or some broad looking out the window ready to call 911. I hate the suburbs."
They followed Walter P. Harrington for a mile, weighing the risks.
"I don't know, Vinny."
"In the right-hand curve with him turning right, when he goes out, the car will tend to straighten and go into the concrete median. I'll floor this heap and we'll be by before he smacks it and rebounds."
"If he comes right, he'll clip us," Tony objected.
"Not if you do it right. Stick it in his ear."
When Tony didn't move, Vinny glanced at him. That moved him. Tony Anselmo crawled across the passenger seat back and flopped onto the rear seat. He paused to catch his breath. Under a blanket on the floor were two weapons, a 12-gauge sawed-off pump shotgun and a Remington Model 4 auto rifle in .30-06 caliber. Both weapons were loaded. After he rolled down the left rear window, Tony Anselmo picked up the rifle and cradled it in his arms. He flicked the crossbolt safety off. The shotgun would be easier, but the buckshot pellets might be deflected by the window glass. It would take 2 or 3 shots to be sure, and they didn't have that kind of time.
"Okay," he told Vinny. "Get in the next lane, pull up beside his rear bumper, and sit there until you see a right curve coming. Try to let some space open up in front of you."
"Got it."
Vinny used his blinker to ease into a space in the traffic on his right. That stream was flowing along at 65 to 70 miles per hour, but he was still doing 55, so a space quickly opened as the car in front pulled away. Tony scanned the traffic for police cars. He saw none, nor did he see any cars that might be unmarked cruisers. Harrington was plainly visible, his head about 20 to 25 feet away, his hands in a 10-2 position on his steering wheel. He was concentrating on the road ahead, looking neither left nor right.
"Looks good. Any time."
"Curve coming up. 15 seconds. Get ready."
Anselmo scooted to the right side of the car, then leaned left, resting the barrel of the rifle on the ledge of the open window.
"I'm ready."
"5 seconds.
Anselmo concentrated on the open sights of the rifle. This was going to be a shot at a bouncing, moving target, smaller than a basketball at a range of about 12 feet, from a bouncing, moving platform. Not a difficult shot, but tricky. An easy shot to miss and wonder why.
"Here we go."
Anselmo felt the engine rev. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw they were gaining on Harrington's Chrysler. Then they were there. Right alongside, passing with a 3 or 4 mile per hour edge, Harrington's head plainly visible. Tony could feel the centrifugal force pushing him toward Harrington's car, feel the Chevy heel slightly. Tony swung the rifle gently, adjusting for the jolts of the car. His finger tightened on the trigger.